Did you hear that? Oh my god.
Thank you for that, Peter.
You're welcome. Hey, Theo.
Hey, what's up?
Are you wearing a hat that says head?
Yes.
Okay.
These are my street clothes. I look cool. So shut up.
It says body wear on your shirt.
That's, yes.
That just explains what a shirt is.
Peter. Hey, coming to you from the popcorn-strewn snack bar of the historically insignificant family-owned and operated Theater Brothers Theater, this is the Real Butter Buttercast. I'm Theodore Theater.
I'm Peter Theater.
And I'm Alex the Projectionist, and I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. Ominous.
Today we'll be debating the merits of two films that came out in the same year, 2018. One is the mega blockbuster Venom, based on the comic book character from Marvel Comics, and the other is Upgrade, Lee Whannell's cyberpunk action horror sci-fi film.
Videodrome.
Yeah,
I love Venom.
Oh, but, man, no. I wasn't prepared at all to basically beat you down because Venom is the best.
All right. Well, you know, Peter, you can help him if you want.
Yay!
Am I the understudy?
You and I together again. The best is
I, Peter, you know this.
Yeah, but it's not like we can convince you.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm biased. Bias?
Maybe. If my argument is strong enough, maybe I can convince you.
Okay. Convince me then. Do it right now. You won't.
I
do it. You won't.
No.
Don't we need like a moderator and a jury person?
Oh, fancy pantsy. Sure.
We can't, like, if you're going to pick the side of Upgrade, we need someone to come in and just, you know, make sure things don't get crazy, right?
Is that not me or am I the jury?
No, you're on my team.
Oh, I am?
Yeah, you're Team Venom.
Are you?
Venom. You said, because you offered it. If you want him to be the moderator, he can be.
You
want
to be the moderator?
But you are Team Venom.
Venom.
Well, he likes the character, but does he like the movie?
I hate them. Of course I like the movie.
Okay, all right. Fine.
Okay. So you're on my team, you're going to fight Venom? You're going to Venom against Upgrade?
Let's do it.
All right, well, that's...
Two against one, baby. Well,
I can't think of anyone who would be willing to come in.
Hey, Ragnar here!
Hey, Ragnar. Yep. It was, like, perfectly timed the way you did that.
I was pinching Alex in the leg the whole time. And
really?
I told him if he did not do it, I would hurt him.
Alex, how did you not feel that?
Oh, no, I felt it. I felt it. It was cute. It was really kind of ticklish and everything.
Aww.
He's been wanting to do this all day, and I've just been pretending like I've been threatened. Also, he knows where I sleep, and he has a knife, so.
What?
I think that part's
Ragnar. Is that true?
Ragnar will clarify in the morning.
After what?
After butter battle! 1, 2, 3, everybody ready to butter battle? Butter battle theme song coming from Ragnar. Boop, boop, ba-choo, boop, ba-doo. Whether you like Upgrade, you like Venom, we're going to tell you about them. Butter battle.
And here we go.
Wax on.
Oh, what a day. What a lovely day. Achoo! Achoo!
Wax off.
I will look for you.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
I will find you.
Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
And I will kill you.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Somebody peed my pants.
You are a sad, strange little man.
He's had a change of heart.
A lot of good that'll do him. He's still got the same pace.
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad!
Ah!
Ah! A fellow checker, eh?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I'm very happy about that.
Surely you can't be serious.
What do you want? You want the moon?
You get nothing!
Nothing? Nothing? Nothing, tra-la-la.
I drink your milkshake.
I need the spot. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Wow.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
All right, I'm in.
Who won't go first?
Venom is about a reporter named Eddie Brock, who's really kind of screwed up his entire life with his selfish actions. He's ruined his relationship with his girlfriend. He's got himself fired from his job for pushing too hard into a program or a person he's trying to interview. And everything seems to be going wrong for him. But luckily, it turns out he stumbles upon the one thing that would make his life better, a disgusting alien black goo that takes over his body and can give him superpowers, but also needs to feed on humans.
Venom.
And then
Venom.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It names itself Venom.
It does name itself Venom. It also says later in the film that it's kind of a loser. And, you know, you can't really give yourself a nickname. Only a loser does that. So it kind of
sticks. It makes sense.
So
the shoe really fits.
But it is basically another disgusting, ghoulish alien tries to get on Earth and attack it. And
What about the Life Foundation?
The Life Foundation, screw it, doesn't matter. This is about two aliens fighting each other, and one of them pairs himself in a relationship that is healthy, while the other one pairs himself in a relationship that has a master and a servant. And it's the relationship of friendship in the end that may save the Earth between Eddie and Venom.
It's love, Tars.
Venom.
It's love.
It's love, Tars.
I just think it's important to mention the evil corporation and the evil...
Anyway,
just because that's like a good percentage of the movie is the labs and the rooms and the testing and all
you
of that.
You really just summed stuff. It up because that's all
yeah.
it really is.
Yeah, that's because where a lot of the goo has to be is there. It's afraid to be there. And that's where a lot of the problem is. This isn't about science. Mm. This is where the bad guy lives. Mm. The bad guy lives in a cold room with locked prison doors and all those cells. No, we're talking about
the relationship
between Venom and Eddie up top and how that... is the better way to live life.
Now, the symbiote known as Riot, who is the ultimate villain who bonds with Carlton Drake, the evil millionaire fellow. This Riot symbiote, at the very beginning, there's a very boring cold open where the spaceship that looks like it's from a 90s straight to video movie kind of burns up on reentry to the Earth, right? And then...
authentic.
One of the symbiotes is loose, and it turns out to be the Riot one. It gets onto some lady, and then onto another lady, and then onto a little girl, and eventually makes its way to San Francisco, where it joins up with the main storyline after about 45 minutes or so, and then bonds with Carlton Drake.
In movie time, it was like 45 minutes, but it took the span of like a week for him to get there.
Right. Carlton Drake has all the other symbiotes in his lab, right? So he has complete access to them. So basically, they just wasted all this time for that other one to go all the way around the world and end up where all the other ones are anyway.
Okay.
Why?
Because he's the one that is actually going to succeed in the lab and not the other ones.
But he ends up in the lab.
It's about the journey, not the destination. It's about the fact that he went through several different people to go there and still take over Riz Ahmed's body because he knows
he could have done that if he was in one of the tubes.
No, because Riz Ahmed had the power. And let's say, let's put it this way. Is it more interesting in this movie? Is it more interesting in this movie if it just happens to be that Riz Ahmed finally comes across the one that it is? Or is it more interesting that the one that he comes across has already found its way through humanity, been through its innocence, understood how it works, and understood that it wants to kill all of them anyway? This is the difference between Riot and Venom. Riot and Venom both spend time with humanity, and Riot just goes through them like capitalism. Whereas Venom,
chews them up. I see what you're saying.
With the capital cut.
I don't know if that's in there or not, but basically, yes, Riot does chew up humanity and spit them out, whereas Venom spends time with one person, empathizes with his issues, tries to help him, and then basically teams up with him. Theo, wake up.
Sorry.
Wow, you
know what I found odd?
Wait, Theo.
Call to Drake.
I understand you want to keep going. Understand that you basically just stopped moving for a second.
Like your hair stopped moving.
It's like you were you were having a conversation in your head.
I got my booster shot and
I don't think, wait a second. Wait, a boost, first of all.
A booster of what?
We've never talked about vaccines on this show and I still don't think we're going to, but I don't think this came from the booster shot, but I will ask you this. That is interesting. Where did you get the booster shot taken? Did you go to a normal place Or did you go to that one place you always go to that's really shady and has problems?
It is not shady. Those guys, it's just discounts. No.
Okay, all right. This isn't a vaccine thing, guys. This is this guy's specific vaccine, right?
I don't see why I have to pay premium prices for vaccines and medicines when I can go to a perfectly good back alley and get that stuff.
Theo, that's
discount
not,
prices. It's the same stuff.
Okay, it's not brand the same name. Stuff.
How do you know it's
you
the same?
You know he makes it. You know he makes
it's
it.
It's all homemade, and he just throws a bunch of spices and, like...
He makes good food, but he's not a vaccine guy. He's just putting stuff in his back alley.
Vaccinist? Is that a word? That's not a word.
That sounds derogatory.
Sorry.
I don't
know. I'm sorry.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Corner for a second.
Okay.
All right. So
we can go to the pharmacist, waste a whole day going down there. Or just nip outside, get this guy's stuff, buy a nice pair of shoes.
Look, I love it when you nip out.
Check out these new Mikeys.
Okay, wait, Mikeys? This is supposed to be Nikes, not Mikeys. It's rip-off.
I don't think that's...
Counterfeit. That's knockoff. That's knockoff starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Rod Schneider. What you need to do is stop and think, not like you did before. That was scary. You need to stop and think about why you just stopped and think for a second.
That's just part of that's the natural part of the booster. I kind of glitch out.
That's not natural.
It's not a natural
like for,
booster.
No, he said it's fine. Like I asked him about it later. I was like, why is my hair falling out? He's like, that's just a natural part
hair.
Of the process.
Specifically, where is the hair falling out?
Like from the top a little bit.
Oh, is that why you're wearing a hat?
Yeah, look.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Anyway, get back to movie talk.
Okay.
Hey, Will. Okay, my favorite line from Venom is when Carlton Drake yells at his minions, he says, "Find my symbiote now." This is one of the many choice pieces of dialogue from this. Really. This movie looks like they just cranked it out as fast as they could because they knew it would make money no matter what.
Now, here's the thing.
Oh my God, I did watch
the behind-the-scenes DVD extras to Venom, and I was able to see – okay, I will say this.
Do it. Say it.
I think the stunt work in the middle chase scene where he fights the dudes in his apartment and he goes on the motorcycle chase – knowing how they did that stuff, I got to be honest, I'm pretty impressed. I don't think any of the other more CGI-heavy-based action scenes compared to that set piece.
The choreography is very good in that movie.
But like,
I can understand why when his motorcycle shoots by, one of the minor characters looks at it and goes, "What the?"
Now, I'm not saying...
With a dash. Like, there's no other part of the sentence.
Okay, you have a motorcycle fly by your face and you try not to say, "What the?"
And then he's on the motorcycle and goes, "Whoa!"
Yes, I just want to make it a strong point here that when he gets on that motorcycle and he goes up and flies off, that's a great shot. Now, look, I think that set piece is important because it explains a lot of the technical stuff that happens within the movie that's really cool. Probably the most impressive is the director's want and desire to put some horror elements into this. And I do think... that with Venom and the MRI machine, the Jekyll and Hyde aspect to some of this, I think a lot of the deaths, just the kind of the basic callous nature of Riot, that there is some horror stuff in here. Mm-hmm. There is some horror elements in here that I really like. I also think Hardy is good. And the director, I will be honest, looked pretty bored. He really didn't look like he had a lot of energy. But I will say that everyone kept talking about him like he had this like half like mischievous, scary sense of humor and half like whatever. But he did. It seemed like he ran a pretty tight set.
That's a funny thing to say. Like he had a kind of scary sense of humor.
They kept saying
that. I like Bob, but his sense of humor is kind of scary.
I mean,
it makes me feel weird.
I'm laughing, but it doesn't feel good.
I mean, he made Zombieland. I think basically they hired him for his ability to mishmash the tones of pretty dark stuff, violent stuff, horror stuff with a sense of humor. And they talk a lot about why they hired him, and that's a lot of it has to do with tone. But it seems like my guess is the overseer, the really true, strongest voice of this entire project is Hardy. I honestly think he wanted to play a character bouncing off another character. Because what they would do is he would go to set, he would sit with the actors, they would rehearse the scene, then he would record the everything he would think of Venom doing in that moment. Like they would do whatever they could to figure out what he would do, record the voice then he would go to hair and makeup, and by the time he came back, they had already manipulated his voice to be Venom's voice. Then he puts an earpiece in, and every scene he acts in, he's acting against himself in the Venom voice, based off of his performance from earlier in the day. So
it's kind of awesome.
He's basically doing his – it's a lot like Locke. He's playing against himself as much as he possibly can. While this is a big budget movie, I think he is doing his best to add as much ground level actor techniques in as he can for this to be interesting, exciting, outside of the fact that he does like the character. But – The director does say, we wanted to make a low-budget indie movie about a guy being possessed by something, but on a big-budget scale, which is basically what Upgrade is, except for the last part of that sentence. So that's where the comparison comes in.
That thing about him like having the Venom lines in an earpiece, apparently he got this idea because when he did the film Legend in 2015, he plays twins, so he did the same thing. He would like record one twin's lines, he would listen to it so he could kind of like bounce off it.
Legend is another great performance by him. Yeah. Two extreme opposites, one in control, one in not, one very emotional. It's very close to what this is. Yeah.
Paul Rudd did that in a Netflix original show.
That's right.
As well.
He did.
And that show is called, hang on, it'll come to me.
Yeah. You're
working on that. Dang it. Theo, you're literally walking in circles right now. You got to stop going in circles.
Whatever. Just it's totally normal.
No, it's not. Normal. Sit down. Sit down.
I'm fine. Whatever.
Take a break and we keep Theo from moving around real quick, and then he can talk about Upgrade real quick.
All right, Ragnar. Debate time, break time now. Ragnar, same time, break time now. Now, break time now.
Upgrade, upgrade, up.
It's like your Upgrade song.
It's an Upgrade song.
Right. A Venom song, but for Upgrade. Upgrade.
Yeah, because it's an AI, so it's a little bit more mechanic.
Upgrade.
Oh, don't hit yourself. Don't.
Upgrade. Yeah, just, there you go. Jab yourself in the throat.
Yourself in the throat.
Oh, no, my God. I am not.
Wow, you have such a prominent Adam's apple, too. That
thank
looks like
you
a
so
song.
Much.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez.
Yes.
God, and you, like, rake, like, fingers, which is
That's how you do the AI voice.
You got such a Ichabod Crane set of hands, and they're just stabbing your giant.
You are only making this more funny and enjoyable for me.
I don't remember that part of the song. Say Upgrade.
Upgrade.
Okay, well, you guys want to talk about that?
Ragnar, does that sound good?
Talk about Upgrade!
Upgrade now.
Ding, Upgrade. Ding. Written and directed by Australian Lee Whannell, who's written a lot of screenplays and more recently directed The Invisible Man, which we reviewed on one of our Elder shows.
This is his debut as a director, correct?
Correct. Corrector.
He's acted, produced, and written many films, but he has never been the sole reason these things exist.
And bam, he comes right out of the gate with this amazing cyberpunk film featuring Logan Marshall Green as a character called Gray Trace, who's an auto mechanic. And he's kind of like a technophobe. He doesn't like to get involved.
What's his name?
Gray Trace, which is a little... Sorry.
Can you say it faster?
You didn't write the name.
Can you say his name faster?
Gray Trace?
No, like faster than that.
Gray Trace.
Go on.
He's a mechanic. He lives with his girlfriend. He doesn't really like technology. He's fixing up a vintage car for this rich fellow called Aaron. Well, it's pronounced Aaron, but it's spelled E-R-O-N. Which I think is very telling.
Elon-y.
Musk-y.
Because this fella, Aaron Keene, is a tech innovator, and he has this little kind of chip thing called STEM that he's very excited about. It's kind of an AI system. Now, so then Gray and his girlfriend are driving home. Their auto driving car just starts to malfunction. It flips over and crashes, and then tragedy occurs. I don't want to give too much away, but basically this is all in the trailer. So
Han Solo dies.
No. Let's be honest here. The first 30 minutes of this movie, without giving too much away, set up who the character is, set up what it is that is important to him, and then it takes it away swiftly.
And the second act is where the movie paralyzed. Begins. Yes, he's paralyzed.
His girlfriend's dead. This fella, Aaron Keene, shows up at the hospital. He says, hey, man, let's stick this thing in your neck.
In your face.
In your neck. You'll be able to walk again. It'll be great. It'll be a revolutionary new surgery.
It'll be great.
And then, you know, Gray kind of thinks – his name's Gray. I mean
– that's so crazy.
That's going to be a negative point for me later on.
Okay, wait. There is sometimes when you're watching something or reading something and the name is really hard. I've got to be honest. I never, ever stopped to think about his name in this movie
because I was
thoroughly enjoying it. Oh, but it does remind me of when I was watching Sahara with Matthew McConaughey, and then halfway through that movie I went, wait, his name is Dirk Pitt?
Yeah, it's a little too cool for a character who's supposed to be a regular blue-collar auto worker kind of.
His name is Gray Trace?
Gray Trace. Because otherwise, the actor does a great job. The character's very like down to earth. It's all good, but
it's not good.
Eventually, Gray Trace says, "Yeah, you know what? Stick that thing on my neck. Let's go." Because he's sick of being paralyzed. Because he's a quadriplegic. I'm sorry, my fingernails are falling out.
No, it's okay. I love that Who album as well. It's okay. Can we talk about your fingernails falling out?
You have also in the span of all of this.
Why are you taking the money out of the register? You've been consistently doing that while you've been talking.
And your fingernails are falling into the till.
Yeah,
stop it.
Very Cronenberg The Fly like.
Thank you.
Can you stop? Like, just
that's a high class compliment.
These aren't compliments. These are statements of worrying.
Can you stop leaving red traces?
Observations of concern. Mm.
So Gray Trace, right? So then he's obsessed with finding Gray Trace. He's
obsessed with finding
Gray Trace.
So Trace Gray.
Okay. Yeah.
Tracy Gray.
Trace, Gray. He's obsessed with finding the killers of his wife. So, and then suddenly the stem thing kicks in. It can talk to him through his head, through vibrations. So nobody else can hear it, which I thought was a nice little thing. It's highly intelligent AI. It's able to zoom in on the surveillance footage. It's able to identify the killers, and he starts tracking them down. So then it becomes sort of like a revenge movie where he's trying to find his killers. And then you get these really incredible action scenes where basically Gray is about to have his face pounded in. And the STEM AI thing kicks in, takes over his body.
Pretty great. It's just because the thing is, it isn't just great choreography and they aren't just great fight scenes. I will say this. It is one simple camera placement move that's all it needs to make these scenes. It's one sense of perspective.
Beautiful.
And then it makes the scene so much more interesting to watch.
Would you call it a gyroscopic camera move? It moves with the character basically as he stands up and moves around.
It's what I would assume the head meat would experience if it was separated from the body meat.
And that's a really fun part because he's doing these incredible moves.
But he's reacting to them.
Yeah. His head is like sweaty and freaked out. Like he's not really cool with this.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's going a little bit farther than he's comfortable with. So these fights, there's about four fight scenes in this movie, all incredible. All beautifully choreographed. Yeah. So the camera moves plus the movements that Logan Marshall Green is doing with his body. He looks robotic without looking like the Tin Man or whatever. He's not doing like a robot dance, but it's very subtle. So, and apparently they worked with like movement coaches, dance coach kind of thing, as well as a fight choreographer just to create this incredible thing. Yeah. And then he starts being pursued by the other killers, who are kind of like cyborg type people. They've got
Videodrome.
Yeah. Okay. They've got guns built into their arms. They've got implants in their eyes. One guy has like
bugs.
Evil sneezes.
That's it.
Evil sneezes.
Yeah. It's got like micro things that go into a guy's head and eat his brains or something.
Microplastics.
The pandemic.
I will say like that there's just basically this movie would be PG-13 except for like three moments where it just – whoa, you didn't expect it to do that? Like that the finale of the first fight scene.
Yeah, the ending of that fight.
And then, oh my God. Yeah, okay, so there's like three, like the surgery scene, for instance, you know,
oh,
a little bit farther than I was expecting. I didn't expect to see like nerves and spine.
So yeah,
it's just like a few times like, whoa, you're going there. Okay. And then
it's not unwarranted. Okay. It's a shocking moment. And when you understand that Lee Wynell has done a lot of horror stuff, sure. But what I truly love about it is that there is a purposeful reason for it to happen. It is telling you something. That action is telling you something. And if you're smart, you can key into what it is.
If you're smart.
Yeah, this movie may be too smart for people. That's one of my problems. It's too showy. The first 30 minutes have this like weird tone about it. It takes like a half an hour before it kicks in. Venom, it's right in your face, man. Eddie Brock shows up and he's the
opening scene is that incredibly generic, boring spaceship crash. It's just like, why? Why not just...
Establishing what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's just exposition, but it wasn't
interesting.
If they made
the spaceship look too cool, then you would have been sad that it crashed.
That's good rationale. I like that. So this movie, it's a tight... I feel like it's almost exactly 90 minutes. There's no frills. The budget was a tight, like, $5 million or something.
No, what?
Yeah, it's nothing. And incredible. All the effects... I'm not
that's
sure if
it,
all
100%, million?
But most of the effects are practical.
And for gore. It seems like for gore.
Truly.
But honestly, I feel like most of the money went to the gore.
But it looks great. And he's a huge fan of practical effects. And so he completely won me over. Like the movie and then seeing interviews with him, I was like, this is absolutely a Theo type of guy.
Here's the thing that I have a big problem with. Two things I have a big problem with this movie. And I'll give you the car chase sucks. The car chase sucks.
It's boring.
The car chase is not very good.
It's aimless.
Longer than it needs to go. It ends well. It has a great exclamation point at the end because it is practical, like you said.
But it's a run-on sentence.
That chase sucks.
It's a run-on.
I don't want to spoil anything about the movie
in
second or third act too far, but I will say there is an abruptness to that ending. And do you feel like there's any defense or anything you would do about that? I like it.
It's to the point.
It's earned. It's almost like you go to someone's house for dinner and then you've just eaten and then you just put your fork down. They're like, okay, get out.
It's great seeing you, Alec.
You had your food. You got the point. Oh, my God. I knew this was going to happen. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, guys. I'm scared. I'm scared right now. I'm so scared right now. Okay. All right. Okay.
Whew. What happened?
Okay, guys. I got to tell you something. Ragnar isn't just the moderator.
Okay.
He isn't just pinching my leg and telling me to do things.
Okay.
Like, start this debate.
Okay.
It turns out he's been making every single decision for me for the past week.
How?
I don't know how. He just keeps pinching me in Morse code and I keep doing things. I can't help it.
Bad. Yeah, Ragnar tried real hard to keep this guy out of trouble.
Good on you, Ragnar.
No problem. Ragnar.
It's fabric. He doesn't really have a slapping motion. Wait.
Dip it in something.
Look. I'm just going to sit here and deal with this with Ragnar. I'm sorry I lied to you guys all week. And the only thing that's going to make me feel better is if I hear Theo talk about upgrades some more.
Some of the films that Lee Whannell referenced in terms of in interviews and as influences on this movie. And I would say if you like these movies, you'll like Upgrade. He talked about the original Terminator, 1984, James Cameron's best film. That's my opinion. There you go. That was before they allowed him to touch computer graphics. RoboCop, 1987. Obviously, that's kind of again, that kind of cyberpunk, kind of grungy mixture of technology with kind of the ground level. A little bit of the body horror in there, you know, having
definitely.
Body. Yeah.
Would you say unpleasant? A little bit of Westworld, too?
You know, Westworld, how did that come up recently? Somebody drew a really interesting parallel because Westworld came out in the 80s, and that was
before Terminator. Yeah.
Michael Crichton wrote and directed that.
Yes, he did. Only thing he ever did.
Yeah, yeah. Yul Brynner's character is very similar to the Terminator, the way he's kind of relentless and he's just coming straightforward for the main character.
It's the last 30 minutes of it because that's all that is. It's only two characters you follow. You see what they do. They go through Westworld and everything that the show and all that stuff says. But once that's why I wanted the second season of the show to be the last 30 minutes of the movie, which is just running away from robots trying to kill you. That's all it is. And it would have been fantastic for 8 episodes. Yeah. I would have watched it. And that's what, he's relentless. He doesn't speak, he doesn't do anything.
Tenacious.
I feel like there is a little bit of that in here because it takes a while for him to be stopped. And you see the machinery behind the human a lot. I like the ending of Terminator, sure, but certainly in there too.
this film has a similar feel to it, a similar kind of grungy feel to it. The lighting, the action, you know, even in the Terminator when he's kind of like cutting his arm and like fixing things in there, that kind of like strange, I guess we're calling it body horror or whatever, like that, like the mixture of man and machine, and it's kind of gross and kind of icky.
So, you know what also reminds me of? Tetsuro, the metal, the guy who turns into a machine, that Japanese movie.
Tetsuro, the Iron Man.
Yes, yeah. That movie reminds me a lot of Pi. Aronofsky's Pi, too. But
oh,
like,
God.
Yeah, but like, this is a lot, yeah, I know. This is a lot closer to that in terms of Tetsuo. Yeah, like a guy just like slowly becoming into a machine, grossly.
I think this movie moves between funny moments, gory moments, really cool action, and the sci-fi elements. It's all mixed in quite nicely. It never feels like one scene is more, you know, it doesn't feel inconsistent.
One could argue it's ambitious and doing too much. That maybe it's playing too many hands, that the tones are a little too off. A little too many cooks?
That's kind of my problem with Venom. There'll be a scary scene, like when he visits the lab and there's the other people and the lights are flickering. And it's just like, that's a horror movie. And then there's other scenes that are goofy. You can almost hear the dum-dum-dum-dum music in the background.
So you're arguing that Venom has those moments, but they're more like checking them off a list, whereas Upgrade blends them more... genuine.
I feel like it's one thing. Like, I feel like Lee Whannell has a dark sense of humor, and that this reflects that. He can,
I don't see
he can
it. Go from I don't know if I see tone, it. You like, could sit here forever and talk to me about this.
Or stand. Or walk, don't walk away.
All right, that's it. Ragnar come in, change things all up. Time to devil's advocate.
You're kind of gross when you eat. Try this.
Out of focus.
So when you eat,
yeah,
slowly bring it to your mouth, okay, like that.
All right.
I'm going to take it, and then I'll eat it.
Oh.
Do it again.
I don't want to.
No, I'm interested. I know. I want to see what happens here.
All right. Well, okay.
And it's almost to your mouth. Okay. It's mine now.
Okay.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Alex, defend Upgrade.
All right, I gotta say, first of all, this movie, it's fantastic. Does so much with so little.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Every scene looks amazing.
I think it blends everything pretty. It's almost like one whole. Someone was talking really recently that I was listening to about this, about how it just kind of feels like one whole vibe that takes all the bodies together really well. I would say,
Theo, right?
Because it's interesting, you listen to the soundtrack, which is just sort of like really doing certain things at the beginning.
He's really twitching. I'm sorry.
Is that smoke coming out of your ears right now? Wait. Is that a bat in your hand? Not a big bat, one of those tiny bats that you get at like a St. Paul?
Dude, what did you just say?
Talk about me.
Talk about what?
I would love to talk about Venom, so whenever you're ready.
Okay.
What?
All right. Okay.
Do you not? Anyway.
Wow, you guys are so weird.
Upgrade. Great soundtrack. It's a great example of one aspect of the film that like adapts to the
it flows
different genres and tones. One thing I like is the camera work you spoke about in the action scenes. It's also used a lot at the early parts of the film when he has the paralysis and mm-hmm. the camera moves upside down. It moves away from him, and you'd see how. It stays on him the same way, and when he has the camera behind him, which is a lot like Pi, the camera would stay on him and like that.
The camera is another character of the movie.
It feels like Stem is the camera, but wow, it feels like point. He is losing that sense of perspective on himself that he held so tightly at the early part of the film when he's in paralysis. Mm-hmm. Stem is there with him, but kind of slowly taking over the sense of – because like – I guess what I'm saying is the movie starts with Stem's perspective being what the camera is, and it ends with what's his name?
Gray Trace
is the observer. In other words, imagine you are playing a video game. You are playing it.
Okay, I'm in it right now.
Okay, imagine you are playing a video game.
Whoa.
And then I'm sitting there.
Oh, there's a guy.
I've played the game.
Okay.
And I've played it before you, so I can tell you everything you need to do. So, Peter, that guy you just mentioned?
Yeah.
Shoot him real quick.
Okay, got it.
Shoot him. Okay, now, Peter, go down that hallway.
Okay,
go to the left.
Left.
All right, you're doing really good, but you need to go faster. So if you go a little bit faster, just give me the remote real quick. I'm going to do it real quick. Okay. You want to watch me do it? All right, cool. This is exactly what that movie is.
An impatient friend who wants to play a video game?
But Trace is for it. Trace eventually becomes the camera to his own body.
Yeah,
he relinquishes really a lot of the choices, not just physically, but the options, the narrative to the film now.
Dude, you're making me sad. stop.
I don't want to say too much about what that says to the story, but what I love is that...
Good, because it'll make me sad.
That is both visually part of the narrative and also part of the narrative on the screen.
It's cohesive.
And since this is a visual medium, I really found that impressive. The second time I watched it this week, I was like, wow, who's really the person looking in that moment when he's doing that stuff? It's him. When he's doing those fight scenes, that's him looking at it from that perspective.
Right. He's terrified. What's happening?
Well, also at the same time, the performer, Logan, is doing really great stuff as well.
Oh, my God. Yeah. His performance, before STEM was implanted into him, he slouched a lot more. His body language was totally different. And then the transition from that to how STEM operates his body, completely different. Like, he operates at a different speed with more precision. Like, the amount of work that Logan put into both of those performances is awesome, because he's playing two characters essentially. He's operating as STEM, and then he has to play his head meat as a different person.
When you look at like Tom Hardy, who I think has just as physical performance and is just as a powerhouse,
not as good though.
I think he's
what
did you just say? That you thought Tom Hardy was good in Venom?
He's great. I love Venom.
You mean when Tom Hardy was kind of going crazy and
are you okay?
Jumping in lobster tanks and like just chewing scenery? Like that?
I love it.
You are dripping sweat right now.
When he is basically just like really just like screaming and just like just running all over the apartment that he has, like really, really just like, and you that big, that thick accent, you know? You like that?
Like the sweat. I think, that really conveys how the symbiote's kind of working its way through his system.
What about that posture he has, too? Yeah, that posture? Yeah, right?
Yeah, sure, it's a little cartoonish, but it's memorable. You know, I think he's going for more that other kind of comic booky interpretation, like not the more realistic one, but the more maybe like a Sam Raimi kind of era Spider-Man, you know, like it's a little two-dimensional, but that's okay kind of thing.
You know what? You convinced me. I really do like that performance. It's actually one of my favorite Tom Hardy's. But Logan Marshall Green, what I will say about what he's doing, it is very clear that he has several things to do in this movie. He has to grieve. He has to be physically two different people. He has to be robotic. Yeah. He has to he has to be under paralysis. He has to be funny. He has to be romantic. He has to be vengeful. He has to be so many things in this movie, because like you said, it is all these things and they all have to come together very well.
Right now.
Over Logan Marshall Green. I really think that for a movie that three things going for it, I think the script is very bare bones to the point. I think the tone, I think the style of the film is an experiment for him. Like, I think each act of the film is basically a different vibe and a different setup. And like for a first time director, I think he's basically approaching it that way. But I also think that the third aspect that more than anything is Logan. All of those things have to come together. Are you okay?
You are twitching like crazy.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
You look like you're dripping sweat.
Dude, it's hot in here. It's not just me. It's hot. Really.
And we have the doors really open for people to come in and watch.
I'm cold right now. Are you sweating?
We have a heater over here and you are the furthest.
Whoa, dude, you don't need to strip all your clothes off.
Wait. What are you
cover up,
on?
Man.
You have, like, there's all these writings on your skin. It's like memento.
What is that?
I just find it easier to write it down than try to remember everything.
I feel like your body is covered in secrets that would probably be used to rob or take us down.
Very wet secrets.
In fact, they aren't holding very much longer. I give them about two more minutes.
You are dripping secrets right now.
Permanent marker.
Well, I thought it was permanent.
Oh, gosh. No. You should have gotten the tattoos. That works.
Maybe stick and poke. It would have taken longer, but...
That's my favorite restaurant. We'll get sick and poke later.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, you kind of touched on what my main problem with Upgrade is and what I think keeps it from being like in the level of RoboCop or Terminator 1984.
Ooh, this girl's going to go. You go, girl.
I think because that bare bones aspect you're talking about, it just feels like it's just hits the story points. It has some great...
Oh, you okay? You are. I feel like you just can't.
My mouth is so dry.
You know what? Let me finish what you were going to say. I think it's got really the thing about Upgrade that I do wish that it would get sharper on is some of the side characters. Like the cop thing is something Lee Whannell has done in other movies before. I like the performance of her in it, but I wish that she had more to do. What is the mom doing in Upgrade? She's there as an emotional core to remind you of the humanity of the main character, sure, but she could have done a little bit more in that third act. Maybe got murdered or something. Fun. I don't know.
It's terrible.
Why would you want to kill his mom?
Well, what is wrong with you, man?
Up the stakes, man.
Stakes are already up today.
Well, I'd like – it's an hour and a half, and you know what? Maybe I wanted a little bit more Upgrade. Maybe I wanted a little
bit
more.
You wanted a downgrade.
I wanted more of a good movie, and I can't, and I'm not afraid to say it. Anyway, I think Venom sucks overall, and Upgrade is the better movie. And
you know what? Maybe something you're trash, Brock.
I would change a bunch. While there are things I'd change about Upgrade a little bit for a feature debut, it's pretty phenomenal. It's pretty focused, and it's obvious this guy has stood in the background of his friend James Wan and other better directors and watched what they were doing. So I've also enjoyed everything he's written, and I've enjoyed The Invisible Woman, and I'm excited for what he does.
The Invisible Woman,
The Invisible Man, fool. She's not invisible.
The Invisible Man, sorry.
Well, technically, she was invisible.
There is a point in the movie. I'm spoiling things left or right.
Oh, my God. Well, that movie is masterful, and it had me in its grips right from the start. I was feeling her fear. I think he does an amazing job with that. It's not for everyone. Probably some trigger warnings on that movie, because it is so well done. It's a horror movie because it's about an awful relationship.
It's
and it
so
feels
real.
So real and
there
awful.
Real
and
life
it has that. It just has the science fiction element added on there, but it's so good.
I also want to highlight a movie that he made with Rainn Wilson and Elijah Wood and Allison Pill about teachers that are trapped in a school, an elementary school with kids that become zombies. It's called Cooties. And Lee Whannell also acts in it. He does this weird kind of like autism Asperger's character that is just really interesting. And I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
This is a perfect example that it's not a meritocracy. I mean, Upgrade is becoming a cult film. I don't know if it is already, and Venom is just a big old Hollywood by the numbers superhero movie. And it made $856 million.
Yeah, we went
like,
to see.
It's nothing to do. You don't have to, you know, it's like there's no reward for hard work anymore.
Are you okay? Calm down. Okay, you are. Okay, there's a vein.
What's going on? Oh, whoa, your eyes are rolling back in your head.
Okay, guys.
Jesus.
All right, Rednar's stepping in here. All right, Dio, come here. Why don't you lean down here to Rednar's level here?
Oh, it's splashing onto my eyes.
Rednar done hitting you. Ragnar slapped sense into you.
All those you hitting him?
Ragnar going to take a break, and we are going to come back, and we are going to continue conversation. And pick winner.
Pick winner.
Ragnar going to sing Upgrade theme song now. Upgrade. All right, musical section of podcast done.
You're spiraling.
I am. It's because power corrupts absolutely.
No, like you're literally, your thread is caught on something.
I know, I'm stuck on the lazy Susan. You need to either cut string or stop spinning.
Okay, stop.
I'm going to take the end of that string. Okay. I'm just going to.
Do it. What are you doing? Theo, spit him out.
I don't know why, but I'm just going to keep going.
Theo, I don't think you should.
Stop. Okay, pair of scissors, clip. Okay. Theo, that's it. What? Okay, so how did he put this vaccine in you? Is there a way we can take it out?
I think it's got to run its course. I don't know. I think that's how modern medicine
works. You know what we do when things have to run its course? We dump one of us in real butter, we chrysalis, and we shove them in a closet.
I think I'm at that point. I think I'm
okay. Since you're on the brink there, and you are almost about to steal things, and you're almost about to get away with stuff that I don't think you're in control of your body anymore. We just need to make one quick decision, and that is Ragnar.
Who in the butter battle?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, so if you could decide soon, because I just wiped my eyebrow off.
Wait.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
It's my left eyebrow. It's just gone.
Oh no. Wait, Theo, pick it up. Real quick.
All the hairs are just all over the table. I can't, it's not one unit.
Sweep it up. Okay, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Well, you don't have to pick up every single one at a time. This seems a little counterproductive.
I can stick them back on. It's fine. Hold on.
Here, use this little baggie right here.
Ragnar, who's the winner so we can crystallize Theo?
What did you just ask?
Who's the winner?
No, Ragnar Moderator. Ragnar not sure. You need Schmeckle for jury.
Oh, shoot.
That's right.
We gotta go get Schmeckle.
We gotta play the
Schmeckle. Okay, I suppose he is the wisest.
Schmeckle. Schmeckle, yeah. Schmeckling up in the house.
Schmeckling now. Here he comes. Here it comes. Here they come. Schmeckle.
Hey, buddy.
Schmeckle. I don't know if you heard any of like this entire recording. Okay, you did. He did.
Sweet.
He did. So we need to know who the winner is of this current butter battle. Is it us, Alex and I, for Venom, or is it Theo for Upgrade?
Upgrade!
Yeah!
Is that what he said?
Dang it!
Is it Upgrade?
It's Upgrade.
Okay, good. So that means I win?
I mean, the Devil's Advocate was last, and we switched our positions last.
So we won. Ragnar,
I won.
Established that well. But no, we
switched back.
Now, nope.
I think the loser gets to be crystallized.
Okay.
You can't hit us, both.
Theo, look at me. Look at me.
No, you hit me, I'll hit you back.
Guys, I'm throwing in the towel. Oh, no, Ragnar. All right, guys, cut it out here. Theo, we care about you. We can't let you become this terrible thing. And as I grab you by the shoulders and I look you in the face and I give you a speech,
Alex,
I shove you into the closet.
You're
butter
shaking.
Now.
Oh, you just...
Get in the closet. Pour the butter all over. Pour it.
Theo will be back in 3 business days.
Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. Love you.
I already feel better.
Butter. It's butter.
Shut up. I hate you.
Oh, he's back already.
Well, thank you, Schmeckle.
Well, it looks like for Theo, this is going to be quite the upgrade.